We're going to do a little more maybe teaching than preaching. I hope it's something tonight that'll help you a little bit, maybe deepen your spiritual walk perhaps. I tell you, it's something that is paramount for us as Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's stand together as we read the Word of God this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And since it is a very familiar verse, why don't we read it in unison together? The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for, Lord, just how good you've been. Lord, we thank you for the way that you provided for Pastor Mott physically. We thank you for the way that you have added to the Nitschke's family, Lord, and just how you've had your hand in that whole process. Father, we pray that you be with Zach as well. Lord, we just praise you for all of the blessings that you give us. Our hearts are truly full tonight. Lord, if we would but stop and think and stop but count, Father, we couldn't help but have full hearts of your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, I thank you for just how good you are. Lord, I pray that as we come now to, Lord, the preaching of your word, the teaching of your word, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would go before. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that you would cleanse me of any sin. Father, that you would help your word, Lord, to not just touch hearts and lives, but, Father, be that which the Holy Spirit uses to transform hearts and lives. Lord, may we leave here tonight more like your Son and more dedicated to your service. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll read the verse one more time and jump right in. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, for those of us familiar with the scripture, and for those of us who are not, I'll give you a little background. Of course, the Apostle Paul here is writing to his protege Timothy. 2 Timothy is the book that the Apostle Paul wrote right before he was martyred, right before he went on to glory, he was killed. And so here, these are his last thoughts. These are, "I know I'm going to die soon, so because I can't tell you anything else, this is what I need you to know." And right here in the middle of this book, the Apostle Paul says to this young man, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Now, church, let me ask you a question. Let's get a little crowd participation in. What is he telling Timothy to study? The Bible, right? I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? He's not telling him to go and study music, though music can be very profitable. How many of us were blessed by the brother's song tonight? Yeah, amen. I was too. Music can be profitable. But here he's not telling Timothy to go be a musician. You know, he's also not telling Timothy to go work on his skills in speech and rhetoric. Though being able to speak and to teach can be a profitable skill, can't it? I mean, we have junior church workers and Sunday school teachers and bus leaders. And it's important for all of us to be able to communicate, is it not? But here the Apostle Paul's not telling Timothy to go study to be a communicator, go study speech and go study rhetoric. No, above anything and everything else, what does he say? He says, "Study the Scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You know what, church? Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line, and I said it's going to be more teaching than preaching, and we may get to that, we may not. Here's the bottom line. If we want to be approved before God, if we want to know that we can stand in His presence unashamed, if we want to know that, it's not going to be because of the programs that we have here. It's not going to be because we upgrade the coffee on Sunday mornings, we move from Maxwell House to a Keurig machine. That's not going to be what makes us approved before God. It's not going to be because we have a bigger orchestra or a better basketball team. It's not because we have the finest literature. The bottom line is if you want to stand before God unashamed and you want to know it, Paul says, study. Study. You know, we give emphasis to so many things, do we not? We do. Think about all the time and all the effort and all the energy we put into life and all that encompasses it. But how much do we put into study? You know, the Word of God is such a paramount thing in the life of a Christian. The Word of God is such an important thing. I don't know, once you become a Christian, I don't think that there's anything more important to the health and well-being of your Christian life than the Word of God. There just isn't. You know, it's the Word of God that shows us the person of God and the power of God and the plan of God for our lives and for creation as a whole. Some people feel like they can sit outside on their porch and they can watch the robins flit to and fro. And, oh, I've been with God. I just know so much about God. No, you've identified that God is Creator. Well done. Even the heathens can do that. And it's not a bad thing to appreciate creation. But ladies and gentlemen, if that's as deep as we get, we've missed the boat. We have wholly missed the boat. Understanding Scripture. And the Bible is very clear for us on why it's so important. You know, the Bible teaches us that knowing and living the Word of God will ground us. We all know this passage. Jesus preached it in the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. Jesus said, "Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." So Jesus says, you come, you hear, you understand, and you practice my word. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. How many of you know that in this life there are issues that come up that seem a lot like vehement winds and streams? How many of us know that we go through things that really try what we're made of? Jesus told us, if you want a life that stands that, if you want a family that stands that, if you want a church that stands that, how many of you know that your family is going to be tried? How many of you know that this church is going to go through trials along the way? And Jesus says, if you want something that lasts, build it on my word. Hear it, understand it, do it. It will ground you. Why is it that some people fall away so fast when the heat gets turned up? It's because they're not grounded. It's because they're not founded. I tell you, the Word of God does something to anchor your soul to that which really matters. It will ground you. It will ground you. It will grow you. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter writes, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may, what's that next word? Grow thereby. You know, living things by necessity must be growing, right? If we're not growing, then we're dying. We're becoming far less useful than we should be. Even once you become adults, though you're not growing physically, or you're not growing, some of us are still growing physically, and I'll get to that later. But we should always be growing as a person, should we not? We always should be growing. The Bible grows us. It's described as milk. It's described as meat. It's described as bread. The Bible nourishes, sustains, and grows us. It grounds us. It grows us. It guides us. Psalm 119:105. We all know it. What does the Bible say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So many Christians turn on Dr. Phil to try to figure out what to do with their life. Can I tell you, turn off Dr. Phil and look at what Dr. Jesus has to say. Turn off Rush Limbaugh. And look at what the King of Kings has to say. Can I tell you, you want to know how to live your life? You want to know the direction that God would have you take? Look in His Word. I think the reason that so many people are so confused and so many people wander so aimlessly and we seem to have no direction in Christianity today is because we don't know His Word. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It will ground you. Do you find yourself a little bit shaky in life? That's okay if you realize it. Just go ground yourself. Just go ground yourself. As you look at your life, do you see you're not growing like you should? That's okay so long as you recognize it. Let's go grow. Do we find that we're not really having the direction that we should? Let's go look at our guidance. It will ground you, grow you, guide you, and guard you. You know, as the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, as he wrote about the armor of the Lord, he gave us one offensive weapon. What was it? The sword of the Spirit, which Ephesians 6:17 tells us, is the Word of God. If we want to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil, against the tricks, the snares that the devil lays along our way, the Lord's given us one weapon. And it's not our reason. And it's not our self-will. And it's not our mommies and our daddies and our grandmas and our grandpas. It's not our wives or our husbands, our brothers, our sisters, our best friends. He's given us one weapon. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible also says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." If you're in mess and want to get out of it and then guard yourself from it, how do you do it? By taking heed according to His Word. Nothing will transform your life like the Scriptures will. Nothing will transform your life like the Scriptures will. Nothing. 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 And that's why I believe the Apostle Paul unapologetically says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, I want that to be me. I want that to be my testimony. I want to stand before the Lord one day and hear, "Well done," don't you? Amen. I want that to be me. Well, tonight, and I think this is where the teaching is going to come in, if I'm careful. I want to just teach us a couple of practical things. Now, I'll tell you, it's not going to be anything earth-shattering. It's not going to be anything that rocks your boat, more or less. But it is just some very practical things. How can you and I study the Scripture? How can you and I, on a personal basis, I'm not talking about coming to church, and I'm not talking to listening to a good radio station, and I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about you and the Lord. How can we study the Scripture and be workmen that need not be ashamed? We'll look at four things tonight, and then be on our way. Number one, excuse me, how to study Scripture. How do you make the Scriptures a living part of your life? I encourage you maybe take notes tonight on this. I don't tell you that often, but I encourage you to tonight. Number one is be prepared. Number one, simply be prepared. How do I study the Scripture? How do I make it a living part of my life? Be prepared. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, and I believe we've all heard it before, that failing to prepare is the same as preparing to fail. The bottom line is, if you and I are going to be students of the Word of God, if we're going to have a living relationship with the living Word, we got to be prepared. We need a plan. We need a plan. You know, we have a plan for everything else we accomplish in life, don't we? Why'd you get to work the time you did this morning? Because you planned to. You set an alarm, didn't you? You got up, didn't you? You had a plan. Why is it those of you who have seen some success financially, why is it that you've seen some success? You've had a plan. You on purpose stayed out of debt. You've on purpose invested in certain areas. You've done things on purpose, haven't you? Anything we do in life that we succeed at, we generally have a plan. How many of us stumble onto greatness? How many of us stumble onto success? That is the exception to the rule, is it not? And here in America, we all want to be exceptions to the rule. We all want to just stumble upon success. I'll tell you, we were at home the other day. We had just gotten back from vacation. And my sweet little Emma was hugging me. And she told me this. She said, "Daddy, you're squishy." So I did what any male would do. I kind of tensed up a little bit. And I said, "Honey, are you sure I'm squishy?" Because she was giving me a hug. Kind of tense. I was like, "Are you sure?" And she leaned back and put both hands on my stomach and pushed and said, "Yeah, Daddy, you're squishy." So I did what any self-respecting man would do. I went to the bedroom, closed the door, and cried for a little while. And then I went and joined a gym. But that being what it is, can I ask you, why am I squishy? Because I haven't had a plan. You know, physically we run into trouble, don't we, when we don't have a plan. Can I tell you, spiritually, if I may borrow the analogy, a lot of us have gotten squishy spiritually. There's not a lot of meat. There's not a lot of substance because we don't have a plan. When do you meet with God? Not when do you intend to meet with God. Not when do you know it's a good idea to meet with God. When do you meet with God? Where do you meet with God? Where? Can I tell you why we're all here tonight in church? Because we plan to meet in a certain place at a certain time. Can I tell you, this is just practical. If you want a living relationship with God, if you want to study to show yourself approved, it starts with being prepared. You need a plan. You know, the Bible gives us examples. David in Psalm 55:17 said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." In the book of Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible gives us and tells us that Daniel kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Can I tell you, when we look at men in the Bible, we get glimpses of the fact that they had a plan. They met with God at a certain time. They had something that they did. You need a plan. Be prepared. Have a plan. Set some time aside in the morning. Get up a little earlier. Meet with God. Set some time aside in the evening. Have a plan. I'm not here to tell you what your plan is, should be. I'm just here to say you should have one. Be prepared. Have a plan. Have prayer. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18 said this, "In a prayer, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Let me ask you tonight, what understanding does our flesh have of Scripture? None. Zero. The Bible says to our flesh and to the unregenerate man, the things of Scripture are foolishness, are they not? Pray. Who do we have within us that helps to illumine Scriptures for us? The Holy Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's just a practical idea to pray before you get into God's Word. It's His Word. If He doesn't know what it means, who does? Open thou mine eyes. Put that verse back up there if you would. Open thou mine eyes. Do you think that's a prayer that God would honor? Do you think that's a prayer that God would answer? Boy, I do. Get a plan. Pray. And I tell you, there's a need for purity as well. There's a need for purity as well. So many of us are so used to our sin. We come to the Word of God with such soiled hands. And can I tell you, that's not the way God designed for it to be. We referenced earlier that verse in Peter chapter 2. But I want you to look with me at the verse before it. The verse right before it in 1 Peter 2, 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore laying aside all" what? "Malice," that's hatred, "and those feelings of bitterness, and all guile," that's deception, "and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." He says, lay all of this aside, verse 2. "Now, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." I tell you, we find the same order in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." He says, get rid of this first, and then receive with meekness the engrafted Word. I tell you, there's a pattern here. Have a plan. Have a prayer. Have some purity about you. Do we want to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? Do we want the living Word of God to be a living part of our life? First thing is be prepared. Number two, be principled. Be principled. I tell you, with this study, with this idea of studying the Word of God, being a workman that rightly divides the Word of truth, I tell you, we have to be principled about it. One of the ways we have to be principled is, there has to be a priority of our study. There has to be a priority to our study. There are a lot of things in this world that steal at our attention. And I tell you, I will beat this drum until the day that I die. The devil has done a masterful job of filling us with urgent things to the point where we neglect what is truly important. And I tell you, what is truly important has been neglected because of soccer games and because of camping trips and because of the fact that I wanted to sleep just 5 more minutes. And because if you give the excuse, what was it that we told ourselves when we didn't read it today? What reason did we give for that? We have to be principled in priority. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 19, 7 through 10, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." He says all of these wonderful things about the Word of God. And then what does he say? "More to be desired are they than..." Have you ever really stopped and thought about that? Boy, it makes for a nifty song, don't it? It really does. But have you ever really stopped to think of the depth of that truth? That the Word of God, because of what it does for us and how precious it is, ought to be more desirable to us than gold. And why didn't we read it again? You know, it's funny here in America. We never miss a physical meal. We never miss our favorite TV show. We don't miss sporting events that we'd like to see. We don't miss things that we physically desire, do we? Some of us to our own financial and physical hurt. But the Bible says, "More to be desired are they than gold." What did Job say? Job says that he has, in the book of Job, 23 and verse 12, he says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of thy lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." There has to be a priority. And the flesh comes to us and says, but you're so busy parenting. Can I tell you, you can never be the parent you need to be until you've been here, until you've been there. But you're so busy at work right now, it'll calm down soon. Can I tell you, you can never be the employee that you need to be until you've been here and until you've been there. But I go to church on a regular basis. Can I tell you, you can never be the church member that you need to be until you personally spend time here and spend time there. There has to be a priority. Ladies and gentlemen, we spend so much time and so much money on so much stuff. But more to be desired are they than gold. Just let that thought sink in. And church, may it be our prayer. I'm not there. I wish I was. I'm not there like I should be. But church, it ought to be something we're shooting for. Something we're growing towards. A priority of study. Also, be principled in your purpose of study. What are we studying for? What do we study for? I want to be made more like Christ. Can I tell you where that starts? It starts with understanding. The Word of God is given to us that we might understand it. you look in the Gospels and in Acts, and the words here to the effect of understand, or the word understand, is given several hundred times. In fact, in Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, this is just one of literally dozens, if not hundreds of instances. Jesus said this. He said, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." How many times in the Scriptures do we see, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Why? Because this is given to us that we might understand it. Can I tell you, this isn't a spiritual checklist that we get our proverb in for the day and we check it off, or we read our page out of the devotional for the day and we just kind of check it off. It's kind of like when I would teach in school and I would give a little assignment and somebody would, I see somebody writing feverishly, they'd sit up like that. And I'd ask them a basic question about what they had just read or written. And they were like, Let me ask you. What'd you read today? What'd you understand today? What happened today in the Scriptures? It's not just a spiritual box that we need to check. And I've checked it off for today, so now I'm good to go for at least the next 12 to 24 hours. It's not how it works. We read to understand. So how do you do it? Read repetitiously. How long should we be studying the Scriptures? Our whole life, right? Our whole life. And sometimes when we read it so fast, we read to get through it, like we've got to have it done within the next week. Can I tell you, we've got our whole lives to soak in the Word of God. Read it and reread it. You know, maybe you read three chapters today and you didn't understand them. Can I tell you, go back and read them tomorrow? But I'll be, it's okay. We're not here to keep a schedule. We're here to understand. And if we're not understanding what we're reading, then the schedule don't mean squat. Just doing it doesn't make us spiritual. Read it to understand. If you have to read it 30 days in a row, read it 30 days in a row. I guarantee you do that, you'll see things in that passage that you've never seen before. You know, you could take five to seven chapters, read them 30 days in a row each, and you would still have the whole New Testament done in under 3 years, I think. 3 years, yeah. I mean, imagine to read it that much in 3 years. Imagine what you would learn. Imagine how much you would understand. Read it. Read it repetitiously. Read it systematically. I tell you, one of the things that we got to watch out for if we want to have real, deep Christianity is what they call devotionals in Christianity today. You know, the books, they've got like one verse or half a verse at the top and then like six paragraphs of somebody else's thoughts. I tell you, those aren't necessarily bad. They're not wicked or evil. But I can tell you, they're not study. They're not study. We ought to have a personal study of the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you have to go home and read 10 chapters. Maybe you can't do that. 5 chapters, you can't do that. Even 1 chapter, maybe you can't do that. But you can go home and just read the Word of God for what it is. And instead of saying, Dr. Flatbottoms from whatever religious institution, tell me something about these verses. Holy Spirit, tell me something about these verses. And just study the Word of God. Not with Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, but just with the precious Holy Spirit of God. Study the Scriptures. Now, I'm not telling you that to go home and throw all your books away. I'm not telling you we're going to have a bonfire on Sunday night after church. But what I am telling you is if that's the extent of our study, we haven't begun to scratch the surface. That is a shallow, shallow personal relationship. Study the Word of God. Study systematically. I encourage you, pick a book of the Bible. I love the Gospels. I love the life of Christ. I tell you, you'll start reading a chapter. I'm going to do a chapter a day, you say. I tell you, it won't be long in the Gospels and you'll have read 2, 3, 4, 5. You just get lost in how amazing our God is. I tell you, in the Gospels, I can't hardly put it down. Pick a book of the Bible and just read. There's something about reading systematically, understanding a book for what it is, as opposed to picking out this verse and picking out that verse and picking out this verse over here and giving a nice little thought. Read it systematically. I challenge you. It will revolutionize your Christianity. If you've never done it, I can still remember the first time as an 18-year-old that I did that. I sat down and read the book of Matthew and then read the book of Mark. And I tell you, by the time I got to the book of Galatians, I remember it was the book of Galatians. My eyes were like out here. I didn't do it all in one day. I did it over the course of many months. But my eyes were out here saying, I never understood what these books were really, really saying. I mean, I knew this good verse there, and I knew that good verse there. But I tell you, it will open your eyes like you never would believe. Read it, study it systematically. Be principled in your priority and in your purpose. How do we study Scripture? Number one, be prepared. Have a plan. Pray. Be pure. Be principled. Make it a priority. Have the right purpose. Thirdly, how do we study Scripture? Begin participating. Begin participating. What do you mean by that? Well, think of it this way. We're talking about having a living relationship with the living Word, right? A relationship involves interaction, does it not? It does. You can't have a relationship with an inanimate object. I guess you can if you're crazy, because in your head it could talk back. But you cannot have a relationship with that microphone. You cannot have a relationship with this fake plant. You cannot have a relationship with a deceased pet. I just crushed somebody. Why? Because a real living relationship demands what? Interaction. Two ways, doesn't it? It's a two-way street. Begin participating. When we talk about studying the Scriptures, understand we're not talking about studying biology. We're not talking about studying trigonometry or calculus. We're not talking about phonics. We're not talking about some cold clinical textbook. We are talking about the living Word of God. Begin participating. How do you do that? Pose inquiries. Ask questions. Ask questions. You know, one of the most devotional books of the Bible is what? The book of Psalms, is it not? I mean, most of that book is the psalmist doing what? Pouring his heart out to God in some way or another. It's that psalmist's personal interaction with God. I dare you, go through the book of Psalms and just start counting how many questions the psalmist asks. I did it. I made it through like 15 chapters. It was like 20 questions. It was like 20 questions. You know, you look at a couple of them. Psalm 2:1. He asks, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Have you ever wondered that? God, why do the wicked, why do they act the way they do and seem to get away with it? Why? Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Have you ever just stood in awe of God and said, God, why in the world would you even bother with me? You know, you look at Psalm 10 verse 1. He says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? I mean, let's be honest. Have you ever felt that when you really, maybe God wasn't as close as you really wanted Him to when you needed Him to? Or maybe you were in the depths of despair and you just couldn't find Him? Ask questions. Ask questions. Read and ask questions. God, why did you say that? God, why did you do that? Can I tell you the best place to look for answers? Is in the Scripture. You know, the Scripture is the best commentary on the Scripture. And I tell you what, as you ask questions, the more you study, you will be amazed at how many of your own questions that the Bible answers. I mean, within days, you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it now, Lord. I get it. You will be amazed. Now, will any of us ever have all of our questions answered? No. There are still some things I read in the Bible, and I'll say, what? Why? Why, God? I'm not going to tell you what they are because then you'll ask me about them in like a question-answer session or something. But none of us will have all of our questions answered this side of eternity. But ask questions. And as you search the Scriptures, if it's on your heart, can I tell you, if you don't have the answer, the Lord has placed people around you who just might. He's given you Sunday school teachers. and preachers and people who are in leadership, who have been in the Word a long time. Ask questions. You know, there's no shame in saying, you know, Brother Mike, in Sunday school, what does this verse mean? Pastor Belcher in Sunday school, or what does this verse mean? Pastor Lewis, what does this verse mean? What's God saying here? Why did God... What a great thing to just dive in and really dig deep. Ask questions. Pose inquiries. And then here's an idea. Pin your insights. Write stuff down. Write stuff down. I jot stuff, underline stuff in my Bible, circle stuff, make little notes off to the side, draw arrows, all sorts of good stuff. You know, when the Lord gives you an understanding or an application, write it down. My wife's got a little notebook that she uses. Many of you probably do too. Can I tell you why that's useful? Because it makes you stop. It makes you stop. How many times in the book of Psalms do we see the word Selah? That literally means just pause. Just meditate on this. We're commanded to do what in Scriptures? To meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8. The book of Psalms, Psalm 1:1 and 2. It talks about meditating day and night. To meditate, to ruminate, to really just stop and to just think about it. Can I tell you one of the things that writing does is it makes you stop. You don't have to write. Maybe you have something else that you do. But have something that the Lord can use to just put the brakes on you and make you stop and meditate. Make you stop and think. Make you stop and to really evaluate. Stuff just sticks better when you got to stop. Begin participating. Be prepared. Be principled. Begin participating. And finally tonight, begin practicing. Can I tell you, like I said, the Word of God is not a biology textbook. It is something living, breathing, that ought to interact with our lives, not just for 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning or even an hour in the morning or at night. It ought to interact with our lives, the truth of it, every breath we take. What does the Bible say of itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? It says that how much? All Scripture. But surely it doesn't mean the genealogies. No, it says all Scripture. Well, surely when we're in Leviticus and we're talking about wringing the heads of turtle doves off, I mean, surely we're not talking about that. Oh, no, wait, it says all Scripture, right? Well, surely when we come to the book of Revelation and we're talking about horsemen and weird-looking scorpion-type things and stars falling in Babylon, well, surely those things that are hard to understand. No, it says how much? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means I should be able to read, and it doesn't matter if I'm reading from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Revelation. Doesn't matter what I'm reading from. I should be able to take what I am reading with the help of the precious Holy Spirit of God. It should be profitable for my life, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It should teach me something. Doctrine. Go back to verse 16 if you would. It should teach me something, doctrine, what's right. For reproof, it should show me where I'm wrong. For correction, how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Can I tell you, every verse we read has something that we can live. Has something that we can live. You know, when I read genealogies sometimes, you look at Matthew chapter 1 and you read those genealogies and you see people like Rahab and the genealogy of Christ. If you're not careful, you just read over genealogy. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. But you stop and look at some of those names. Rahab. 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 God used Rahab, a harlot, to help bring Jesus Christ into this world. When I look at the law and I look at all of the things the children of Israel had to do, you know what I'm reminded of? I'm reminded of how holy and how high and how austere my God is. And I'm reminded how wicked and how dirty my sin is. And I stand in awe that all of those birds and all of those bulls and all of those goats and all of those lambs could be slain for all of those years. And it didn't do a thing to take care of the real problem. But that God loved me so much that He sent His only begotten Son. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Can I tell you, everything you read, Genesis to Revelation, has something that you can live. Practice it. Don't leave the Word without something to live. And that's a good principle. Don't leave the Word without something to live. Be practical, but be patient. We go back to 1 Peter 2:2. It talks about growing. You know the thing about growth? Is it takes time. We said that growing is a basic part of life, is it not? But can I tell you this? Growth is a basic principle behind practice and usefulness as well. You think about that. You look at Miss Winona's baby. And as cute as she is, she's useless. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, she brings tons of joy to Grandma's heart, right? But practically speaking, she's not going to go mow my lawn. She's not going to wash your dishes. I'm sorry. She's going to create a whole lot of them, though. She's not going to help with the grocery bill. There's really no practical usefulness to the baby. But can I tell you this? As the baby gets older and older, as the baby continues to grow, there'll be more and more she's able to do, won't there? Can I tell you spiritually the same thing is true? That growth is a basic principle of usefulness. You say, I don't understand it all. That's okay. Just be patient and grow. But I want to be able to do what brother or sister so-and-so does. That's okay. Just be patient and grow. Can I tell you as we grow, and how long do we grow? For a lifetime. For a lifetime, we want to pray a little, now I lay me down to sleep, and all of a sudden be a spiritual giant and understand all mysteries. It just doesn't happen. Be patient and grow. Be patient and grow. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Church, we will never be the church that God wants us to be. I don't care what programs we have. I don't care what orchestra we have, what choir we have, what Sunday school classes we have. I don't care what kind of media that we can put up on our screens here. Though I tell you, you got to be here for next Easter because I got a great one. I got a great one. You remember the bunny? The bunny on Shane's phone? Yes. You just got to be here. It's great. It's phenomenal. It doesn't matter what media we have. What special music we have, what kind of coffee we serve. None of it matters, ladies and gentlemen. None of that sets us as approved unto God. The Bible says study. Study. Study what? Study what? Be prepared. Be principled. Begin participating. And begin practicing. Do you want to be grounded, Christian? Do you? Get in the Word. Do you want to grow, Christian? Get in the Word. Do you want to have direction, Christian? Get in the Word. Do you want to be guarded and have defense against temptation, Christian? Get in the Word. Let's abandon this shallow Google Wikipedia Christianity and dive back into the precious, living, holy Word of God. Father, we love you.